Our first scripture reading comes from Mark 1, 32 through 39. That is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 32 through 39. You can find that on page 35 in the New Testament in the Pew Bible or on the screen in front of you. We read about Jesus who took a break in the midst of his busiest time to go and pray and be refreshed. He then comes back ready to do his Father's will. Let's read. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Thanks. We had a neat experience this past week. Somewhat unexpectedly, the president of our church council, where we served in Russia, came to visit us. He has moved back to the United States. He lives in Vermont, and some of you know him because we all went together, it was a little over a year ago, to Israel, when we took the trip to Israel, and he came along with that as well. Now, he has worked for 25 years in Moscow. Imagine 25 years working in one place, especially in a place like Moscow. Moscow is one of those places where every few months, 6-7 months, you just need a break. You just need to leave. You need to leave the congestion. You need to leave the traffic. You need to leave the frenetic. You need to leave also the mentality, because if you stay there too long, you become somewhat paranoid. You become a little worried that someone's actually watching you and following you, because they actually are, and that kind of gets in your mind. So you just kind of need to leave and take a break and see reality as it kind of is, and then you can kind of be refreshed and get back in. So he is taking a break, and he came to Strasbourg to do that, and he said it was exactly the medicine that he needed. Yesterday at Marie Ponce's celebration of her resurrection, she had mentioned that Strasbourg was the most beautiful and the best place on earth, and he agreed. He agreed with that as well. You know, C.S. Lewis in his Screwtape Letters describes one of Satan's greatest weapons is our innate desire to be busy, because we equate busyness with productivity. That's not always the case, is it? You've noticed, haven't you, that we equate running around from one place to another as a person who's on the go, and we value those kinds of people. We say those people are really hard workers because they're always busy, right? Isn't that kind of our thought process? And that's what C.S. Lewis is saying. That's not necessarily a marker that we want to live up to. And the excuse, I think, for the 21st century these days is, "I'd love to, but I can't." Why? "I'm just too busy," right? Isn't that something that we've all used at one time or another? Well, I've come to realize, especially as we look at this seventh day of creation, and as we're going to be looking at it, we all need a break. We just all need a break. So I'm going to help us out today in taking a break. You'll see something in the pew next to you. It's a Kit Kat bar. So why don't we just go ahead right now, take a break, and I've provided a little snack. So go ahead and open up that Kit Kat bar. There you go. Some of us have bigger ones than others. Oh, there's a horn. Okay, take a break. Go ahead. We're good. Yeah, feel free to open it and just go ahead and bite right into it. There should be something after that.
Give me a break.
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Give me a break. I need some milk. Anyone have any milk?
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Let's get back to scripture. It's going to be hard to do after that. Let's look at the seventh day of creation. And we see that God took a break. Wow, y'all are chewing. You took me seriously. I appreciate that. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. If God took a break, then why can't we? In fact, God commands us to, and we're going to be looking at that. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight, because you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I was reading through, especially the Genesis scripture over this week, I realized we can't really begin a conversation on rest. We can't really begin a conversation on taking a break unless we start with looking at work. And just in these short three verses that we see in Genesis, and this is why it's going to take us so long to get through Genesis, because I only covered three verses this morning, and we're going to take it piece by piece, because I don't want to miss anything. But in these three verses, normally when we think of the seventh day of creation, we think the emphasis is that God did what? Rested, right? Just like, I don't know your name, young man. What's your name? Ethan. Just like Ethan answered David's question, what did God do? He rested. And that's what we focus on. If you look at the Hebrew, Naomi, you're still eating your bar. You're supposed to, you're done. Cut it off. Comes up later on. If you look at these verses three times in Genesis, three times in verses 1 through 3, the word work comes up. And as also rested comes up three times. But we can't understand what God means in Scripture when he says, take a break, when he talks about the Sabbath, without first taking a step back and say, okay, what's this work thing? What does that mean to us as believers in Jesus Christ who believe that God created and then rested on the seventh day? And so let's go ahead and look at those three verses. And what we find that's repeated in regards to work is that God finished. He didn't stop in the middle of his job and say, I'll get to that tomorrow. But he actually finished through all that he had to do, all which he had planned to set out to do from the very beginning. And I think it's neat how in the first verse, we find this, verses 1 and 2, we find this general summary of all the work that God had done. If you look at the verses again, verse 1 especially, thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all the multitude. So he gives us a summary of the first 6 days of creation, that God worked to finish all that he had set out to accomplish. So as we look at the seventh day, we see in verse 2 that on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. Now, what does that imply? Doesn't that sound in English like God also worked on the seventh day? It says God what? Finished. So how do you finish something if you don't kind of get to work, right? That's not what the Hebrew states. And this is, again, where the original language, the language that God gives us to help us understand what it is somehow not backed up by our English language. In the Hebrew, it means literally God inspected. God inspected all that he had done in the last 6 days. So for God, on that seventh day, rest included an inspection. Rest included his ability to go out and see all that he had made. And after he did, what did he say? Wow, that's good, right? That's really good. So that was a part of that seventh day rest, was to be able to look back on all the work that he had done. He could not, well, he could do anything he wants, but Scripture tells us he would not rest until what? Till the work was done. He would not rest until he was able to look back and say, okay, I'm finished. It's complete. There's nothing more that I need to do here. Look what else we read about the seventh day in verse 3. It is the only day out of the other six that God blesses. Did you notice that? The other 6 days, he does wonderful creative things. But he doesn't say, this is the day that I'm blessing. This is the day that shall be hallowed. This is the day that I'm lifting up apart and separate from the other days. He does that here in verse 7. Why? We find the rested. Because God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. So what we find is that God, after day 6, he took a break. So why don't we go ahead and take another break? Don't take another candy bar from next to you. Just use the same one you have. Let's take a break. Now, this wasn't my idea. This is that group that meets at Wednesday morning at 7:15 thought this would be a really good idea. I like it so far. But
give me a break.
How many of you remember this commercial? Any of them? Yeah, maybe we'll shorten it up in the second service, but that's okay. So if you're going to understand what it means to take a break, in the way that God took a break, you need to have that same work ethic that God had. Okay? It's not about taking a break just because we feel like it. It's about taking a break because of what we have done. It's a very different approach, I think, than what we normally think of. Normally, we just focus on that break aspect and don't think about how Scripture repeats. Do you hear that repetitive phrase? Because he rested from all the work that he had done. Today is not a call to loaf around. It's not a call to be lazy and take a nap. It's a call to take a break in the way that God took a break. A break that came about of the result of all the hard work that he had poured into it. This week, we have the National Day of Prayer. And that's going to be, there are all sorts of different activities. I'm going to be involved in the prayer at Smoketown in the morning. Is it called Smoketown? The airport there? And I was assigned to pray for the media. I'm not sure. Anyway, I haven't come up with a solution to that one. But also in the city, in Lancaster City, there's going to be a time of prayer as well. And that one is specifically focused on our first responders, all of them. For our police, for our EMS, for our firefighters. Because if the world, and especially if our country, if our nation ever needed a time of reflection, if we ever needed a time when our leaders and our citizens kind of needed a break, stopped what they were doing and looked at what is happening around them and learned from it, it's now. We need a break. And instead, what we've done is what we are so good at doing in this country. We have taken sides, haven't we? Instead of taking a break and just trying to figure out, okay, what's happening and how do we deal with it and how does Scripture tell us to deal with it, we have polarized. And there are those who are on one side and those who are on the other. And that's what Satan wants from us. He wants to separate us and put us on opposing sides. So we need a break, if for no other reason, to provide us with a sense of clarity of what our priorities are. And then maybe we'll be able to see what our real crises are. God is calling us as a nation to take a break. Because then we may be able to see how our actions and the pain and the suffering that we cause to people around us is real. All of us need to take a break and step back and see, what does God have in store for us? What are God's plans? What's God's vision for us? Especially as Christians living here in this town of Strasbourg, in a culture that values busyness, in a culture that values getting to work in such a way that we think is all that matters. And yet at the same time overlooks some of the basic fundamental lessons that Jesus taught us. Lessons that remind us that every person does have value. So what do we mean when we say take a break? In Genesis, I call these first three verses God's great amen. It is finished. It is accomplished. And this seventh day, this last day, God rests. And he rests not out of exhaustion, but in peace. And his conscience was clear because he had done all the work. You know, sometimes as families, have you ever done this as a family? Gone away on vacation for a week, right? And then you come back, and how do you feel? Exhausted. And you need 2 weeks to recover from your 1 week of vacation, right? I see some smiles out there. You've done this. This isn't what I mean by taking a break. This isn't at all what I mean when we need to take a break. So let's, last time, folks, I promise, let's take one last break and just enjoy. Wow, I've eaten a lot of this. Go ahead, take a break. I promise it's the last time. So I get to do this again one more service. So, are y'all still have any more bars? I have a big one here. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kim Jack bar. Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kim Jack bar. I've never licked my fingers in a sermon before. Wow. So how does God exactly rest on the seventh day? And that's where the Mark scripture comes into play. So we said how important it is to rest. And we said that you can't really understand rest unless you understand work and how that leads then to rest. So what do you do when you rest? Obviously, you don't mow your lawn. I learned that the first week or the first few months that I was here in Strasbourg. Thank you for calling me on that, by the way. So what exactly does God do when he rests on the Sabbath day? In our minds, a day of rest is a big screen TV with a sofa and snacks and the Cowboys on TV. That's what we're all thinking, I know. But as we read in Genesis, we see that he does rest from the work that he had done. But Jesus gives us a great insight onto the type of rest that's involved. What exactly do we do? What activities or non-activities should we be involved in our day of rest? I've already preached the sermon on the Sabbath, so I'm going to look at it from a little bit of a different angle, and we're going to look and see, what does Jesus do on the day of rest? Let's go to Mark and see that scripture that we read first. Mark chapter 1, verses 32 through 39. We find a very, very familiar scene in the life of Jesus. It's a scene where he's out there working. He is mobbed by people. And they all want a piece of him, literally, right? They all want to touch him. They all want to be healed by him. They all want to be cured. They all want their demons cast out. They all want somehow for Jesus to enter their life, be a part of their life, so that they can come away from it different people than they were before they had encountered him. That's a great, great image for each one of us, isn't it? And so Jesus does that, and he is, we find, working hard. And he cures people, and he was tired. Verse 31, we read very specifically, not verse 31, we find in, I don't know why I wrote that, verse 35, let me change this for the next service. Taking a break. Verse 35, we find the words, "In the morning while it was still dark, he got up and he went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed." So it's a very clear picture of what Jesus does when he rests. He prays. He goes by himself. And this isn't the only time in Scripture that we find this happening. We find it repeated over and over and over again. Before he has to make a decision, before he begins his ministry, before he does anything that we know is going to have an impact on people, he goes off by himself, takes a break, gathers himself, and prays. And what that means for us, if we put ourselves in that same position, because again, Jesus is a reflection of who we ought to be. Jesus is our Savior in the way that he washes our sins clean and gives us a new life, allows us to have that relationship with God that we didn't have before. He is also that image, that perfect image that we saw last week that we ought to emulate as well. But what he does when he prays is he hands over what comes next into the hands of his Father. He gives up the control that he may want to keep for himself, just like we want to, and allows himself to rest, which creates a complete attitude of submission to his Father. Our rest, our breaks, have to include some way in which we can show that we are submitting ourselves completely to our Father. We're stripping ourselves of any control that we think we may have. And in that rest, saying, "Father, this is all yours." That's what rest means for Jesus, especially in those times that we find in Scripture over and over again. And Scripture isn't shy. Scripture is not shy in mentioning that he does it often. You know, in our culture, isn't it seen as a sign of weakness if we rest? Isn't it seen as a sign of not being strong enough to just kind of push through it and work through it? That's not the approach Scripture has. There's a time and a season for all things, including a time and a season for rest. And so what does Jesus do? He doesn't go out to see a gladiator fight. He doesn't fill his schedule with activities. He doesn't go out and do chores, which he may have needed to do. He goes out to a deserted place and he rests. In his times of stress, in his times of temptation, in his times of making decisions, even exhaustion, Jesus turns to God his Father for strength and guidance. It's a little bit of a foreign concept to us. The rest that we see Jesus takes, even the rest that we see God the Father take after all of creation, is an assertion that life doesn't depend upon our feverish activities. We think it does, right? If we stop working, what happens? The world falls apart. We can't stop working, even for a moment. Because if we do, no one is going to be able to recover. The rest that we take has to proclaim that we are so comfortable in recognizing that this world is in our lives and our immediate environment is ultimately in God's hands. It's not in our hands. We have to be confident that if we stop our efforts as we are commanded to do, then the world will not fall apart around us. The truth is, and this is the truth of Scripture that we find for today, is that the world relies upon God's promises and not our efforts. Okay, that's what keeps the world turning. The world would keep spinning if we stopped. But remember, we cannot see that truth without first being able to recognize the importance of work, okay? So there's that tension there, isn't it? As Pastor Bob saying, don't worry about it. Don't work. Just hang out. You didn't hear me say that, right? You have to have that tension. So how are you doing with that? How balanced is your life? Maybe you are at a time where you need a little bit of rest as an individual. Maybe you need to take a break, step back, refocus upon your relationship with Jesus, refocus upon your priorities, where you're spending most of your time and your energy and your resources. If God isn't the top priority in your life, then we need to reevaluate. Maybe we feel that we have to control our life ourselves, and so we can't take a break ever. One of Satan's greatest allies we've seen is busyness. Let me encourage you, brothers and sisters. You can do it your own way. You don't have to do it with a Kit Kat bar. Take a break in prayer, especially in prayer. Ask for God's guidance in your life, in the church's life, and now especially in our nation's life. And God will answer. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you now, and we give you thanks for your command that we are to take a break. But Lord, don't let anyone take that out of context. Don't let anyone focus just on the break aspect of it, but rather as we look at the completeness of Scripture, and especially as we look at these three verses in Genesis where that whole perspective of work is lifted up and valued, on an equal ground as rest is. Help us to learn from that. We pray this now in your loving name.